Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayigash. This week's Parsha has so much available to talk about. Let me talk about a few sugyas that have to do with Gemaras and that are related to this week's Parsha. Let me begin with the third pasuk in the Parsha. Yehuda says, Achiv Meis. Yehuda reports that he said that Yosef is dead. Achiv Meis. The first Meshech Chachma in this week's Parsha says something absolutely beautiful. He says, where did he get the right to say Achiv Meis? He brings a sugya of Trei V'Trei in Ksubis Daf Chavdalet, I believe. The Gemara there says, if two witnesses say that a man died, and two witnesses say he did not die, that's called Trei V'Trei, two against two, the wife is not permitted to remarry because she's not sure that her husband died. The Gemara says if she does remarry, we allow the marriage to continue. The Gemara asks why. And the Gemara says, "Kegoin shenisis le'echad me'edeha." She married one of the witnesses that says, I know for sure he died. If he says he knows for sure, we allow it to continue. The Gemara asks, that's good for the man. He knows for sure. But what about the woman? She doesn't know. There are two witnesses say he died, two witnesses say he didn't die. And the Gemara answers that the case is where she also says, Barili. She also says, I know he died. See, even though Bezin is not sure what happened, but these two individuals who say, we know for sure, are allowed to marry. Says Rashi, what does it mean, she says, I know he died? So Rashi says that she says, I know him. He's been away so long, he would not have stayed away so long without contacting me. If he didn't contact me, it must be that he died. Says the Meshech Chachma, aha! We see from Rashi that there's such a bari. A person says, I'm sure he died. And he says, I'm sure he died. Why? Because it's so many years and he didn't contact me. Same thing with Yehuda. Yehuda said, Achiv Meis. Yosef must have died. He's so many years, he didn't contact us. It must be that he died. A beautiful Meshech Chachma. In the Meshech Chachma with a Pirish on the bottom, which is written extremely well, it explains that the Meshech Chachma is bringing a raya to Rashi. He's saying Rashi's right. You see from this pasuk that if he didn't contact, you have a right to assume Achiv Meis. That note to the Meshech Chachma seems to be totally incorrect. It's not a raya to Rashi. It may be an explanation of Yehuda. But as you see, in this case, the conclusion was incorrect. It's a kasha Rashi. It's not like Rashi, because Yehuda Taka said, Achiv Meis, because he hasn't contacted us. But the fact is that Yosef was alive. Sometimes a person doesn't contact, and there are reasons that you're unaware of. So it seems, on the contrary, while it explains Yehuda, this would seem to be a raya that we say not like Rashi. And that a woman who says he didn't contact me, that's not a bari. One thought on the parasha relating to a sugya in the Gemara. Let's go to a second thought on the parasha relating to a sugya. We go on to Perek Mem Zayin, much later in the parasha, in Pasuk Beis. Yosef introduces his brothers to Pare. How does he introduce them to Pare? He brings five of them, it doesn't say which five, but he brings five of his brothers in to meet Paroi, and the pasuk says, "Miktsas miktsay achiv lo kachamisha anoshim v'yatzigem lufnei Paroi." Which ones did he bring? So Rashi says, "Hachaloshim shebehem." He didn't want to bring the strong ones. Paroi would want them to do work for him. Hachaloshim brought the weaker ones. Which are the weaker ones? Says Rashi, Oysam Shalai Huchbalu Shalai Shemaisam Bibrichis Maisha. Later in Parshas Zaisa Bracha, some names were said twice. Lihuda Ama Yehuda Ati Yeducha Achecha. It says certain Shvatim names twice. The ones that say twice, says Rashi, those are the strong ones. Hachalosh Shebehem, the weak ones, Oysam Shalai Huchbalu Shalai Shemaisam Bibrichis Maisha. The ones whose names I mentioned twice, they're the ones that are the weaker ones, and they're the five. And Rashi says, he's quoting this from an medrash of Agudas Eretz Yisrael, some Eretz Yisrael-based medrash. And this Rashi is problematic because Rashi is going not like the Gemara in Bava Kamma of Tzadik Beis. The Gemara in Bava Kamma of Tzadik Beis says exactly the opposite. He says, the Gemara agrees that he brought HaChaloshim Shebehem. But the Gemara says, which ones are the Chaloshim? Oysam Shaloi Huchbalu. In other words, Oysam Shahuchbalu Shabaisam, Hey HaChaloshim. Gemara says, the weak ones are the ones whose name was said twice. So Rashi, for reasons unknown to us, is choosing, not like our Gemara, to say, look, how good is Eretz Yisrael, the opposite of what it says in our Gemara. It turns out, everyone agrees the weak ones came. Who are the weak ones? According to the Medrash, the ones that are mentioned twice are the strong ones, and the ones not mentioned twice are the weak ones. According to the Bava Kamma, those who are mentioned twice are the weak ones. What is this machlokes? Mentioned twice are weak ones, are not weak ones? A little hard to know. Maybe that this brings us back to a topic we must have discussed many times. What's the issue? Well, it seems that Agud of Eretz Yisrael holds that the weak ones are the ones whose names were not mentioned twice. In other words, to say that Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha to the strong ones by mentioning the name an extra time. He gave them a bracha that you're going into Eretz Yisrael to do war. The strong, who's going to do the fighting? The strong ones are going to do the fighting. So I give you a special bracha that you should be strong and you should be matzliach in the milchama. Who did he give that bracha to? He gave that, the bracha, which is part of saying the double name, to the strong ones. However, the Gemara says not that way. The Gemara says just the opposite. The strong ones, they'll fight in the battle. The weak ones, how are they going to be able to fight? They need the extra bracha of the name two times, and therefore he gave them the name two times, that extra level of bracha. This is the way the Sefer Achrei Rayi explains the dispute. Now this goes back to an old Shaila. We've discussed, I believe, on numerous occasions, the question, what should a person work on? What's his tafkid? Is his tafkid to work on his strengths? Or his weaknesses. You have a person who finds learning geschmack and finds chesed difficult. You find someone who finds chesed geschmack and learning difficult. Now everybody has to do chesed, everybody has to learn. But what should a person focus on? His strength or his weakness? Rav Palm in the Atar Lamelech writes that a person, he used to say this very often, a person comes to this world, how's he supposed to know his tafkid? He used to say some people come into Gilgal to fill in something they're missing. But we don't come with instructions. How do you know what you're missing? The answer is that you do know. HaKadosh Baruch gives you a nature towards that thing which you have to do. Your teva is inclined towards that which you need to do. And the language in Atar Lamelech is V'hi achazose be'etz hachayim. That's his way to grab on to the tree of eternal life, of Olam Haba. That which you have a netiyah to, which you have an inclination to, you have to do. And you have to do all tayag mitzvahs. Everybody has to have a seder of learning. Everyone has to do chesed. But the place to excel is in the place where you have a netiyah, where you have a nature to go. This was the Shita of Palm explained. In the past I mentioned that Misal Salanter and Or Yisrael goes with this Mahalach. And the Kuska, in the introduction, actually, to the Oil Torah of the Kuska, they write that was his Shita Sachayim, among others. Reb Tzadik in Sikhas HaTzadik says the opposite. He says that a person's test in this world is the thing that comes more difficult, with difficulty. Whatever comes to you with difficulty, that's what you've got to accomplish in this world. It comes with a challenge. Now it's the other way around. Now what's a challenge is your job. It would seem, and they must add, yeah, those others who say like Reb Tzadik. There are two sides. It would seem that's what they're arguing. And when you go into Eretz Yisrael, it's a mitzvah, kibush Eretz Yisrael, everyone has to be involved. Who has to excel? Who has to work hard? The goodness Eretz Yisrael holds, the strong ones, they're the ones that are capable, then the tea is towards that. They'll do that. They'll be at the head of the battle. The Gemara is saying, no, The weak ones, the ones who find it difficult, we give them a bracha, they should have the strength to do it. They're the ones that are going to, of course, in the battle, we want to win the battle. We're not sending the weakest ones. But the weak, the ones who are not inclined, they have to strengthen themselves to be able to do it. It seems that this is Yenna Machlaikis. Still, question as to why Rashi ignored the Gemara and chose the Medrash of Eretz Yisrael. A discussion for a different time, what Rashi's approach is in Chumash. Maybe we'll find someone who explains it here. So, one Gemara in Ksubis that we've discussed, one Gemara in Bava Kama, Tzadik Beis. Let me share something that actually came up in our learning this week in Mesechta's Bava Kama. We're up to the Gemara and of Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara in Zayin Amid Beis discusses how to assess the value of a field, or for that matter, anything. And the Gemara has a discussion about something that has a depressed value in a certain season, and is yukra de la kameh, and in the future will have a higher value. What's the real value? Is it the current value, or is it the future value? Now, obviously, we don't go by future value. It's talking about something that's normal to hold and not sell till the future. A field that's normal to sell fields in the spring rather than in the winter. You get more money for it in the spring. If you're paying with a field in the winter, do you go by today's value or future value? That's the discussion of the Gemara. And that led us to looking at Shulchan Aruch, as you know. That's what I enjoy doing. And I looked at Sivin Kuf Tes in the issue of valuating fields in Siv Gimel. And the Beis Yosef, the Rama alludes to a tshuva sarivash, which is brought in the Beis Yosef. If you want to see it, you can either look in the Beis Yosef or in the column on that. On Simin Kuf Tes and Chayshim Mishpat Siv Gimel, the Taz quotes it verbatim. And he quotes the Shaila of land, Kaka Shal Yosem Shenimkura Bizman Shahoya Magefa Chazaka Be'ir. That something was sold at a time that it was a Magefa, that it was a COVID. During COVID, something was sold. Now, during COVID, the prices of real estate were depressed. People were not exactly running around buying it. And it was sold to satisfy an obligation, a debt obligation for the assignment. So it was sold during the time of the Magefa. So the Gush, the Rashbat says, the Tashbat's quoted here, Mechazeh Batel. That's not a sale. Nothing to do with Yisayimim. It's because Afagad the Kaimah in Lehegdish Elam Kaimah Vishaitai, even though we have a rule that Hegdish, Rule Hachinami Mecher, go according to its time and place, still, that's an inappropriate time when normal people would sell. But here you sold it in the wrong time. That's not the real price. That is what that is what it says in the Tashbat. And it's not only a Simon. When the Rama brings this, he says, so it's talking about the real price. The real price is not the price B'Shas HaMageifa. That's the Shita of the Tashbats. So someone correctly asked, what's going on in this week's parasha? Yosef did not like the Tashbats. At the end of the Gemara, at the end of the parasha, he took all the fields of the Mitzrim. They didn't have what to eat. They were strapped. He said, you need seeds? Okay, sell your fields to Paray. Now, it could be that Yosef paid top dollar. It doesn't seem that. I don't know if he had enough money for all the fields. He paid by its depressed value of the moment. After all, what favor is he doing for Paray if he's paying top dollar for it? So it must have been paying a cheaper price. That's Pashup Shat and Psukim. What's going on? He violated the rules. The rule is that's not the correct price. Big kasha. You might want to see the rest of the Taz. It's a Geshmaka Taz. However, as far as the part that's going to get to this week's Parsha, I think I've covered my bases. And so if you want to have real Leinik Shabbos, learn to hold the Tashbats and Tshuva Sarashba, both in the Taz and the Taz's Pshara between them, as Geshmaka as could be. So, three thoughts to have you thinking for this coming Shabbos Kodesh. I want to wish you one and all an absolutely wonderful Mishmar evening, a wonderful Shabbos, a good Shabbos to everybody.